Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Happy Friday and welcome to Daily Pop. You guys, it's Oscar weekend and we will be partying all weekend long here at E, especially on Sunday, so you do not want to miss it. But today, we got the insider's guide on how to date Jennifer Aniston, and you won't believe who it's from. Carissa is out and I'm joined by Jodie Sweetin and Liliana Vasquez, everybody. And the producers thought I shouldn't put my name in the prompter, but I'm Justin A. Sylvester.
Where's him? Where's Justin's intro?
Right? You need no intro, though. You are a man that needs no intro.
Right? Done.
Yes.
Can we get this started?
Let's do it, because I really want to get to the conversation we were having right before the show started.
Okay, well, let's get to it. So you want to date Jennifer Aniston, don't you? Well, her ex, Justin Theroux, has some great tips. He told NBC's Willie Geist about some advice he actually got from Jason Bateman that kept him sane during his brief but high-profile marriage to Jennifer Aniston.
He said, look, in that side of the entertainment industry, a character is about to be born. Right. And that character is you, but it's not you. That character is, you know, angry. That character has got a problem. That character is, you know, sweet. It's just this little soap opera that gets written in the margins. And he said, and so my advice is don't follow that guy's storyline.
Wow.
That is interesting.
That's true, though. I feel like anybody that dates Jennifer Aniston at this point, like, there's such a story and created about them. And I feel so bad for her. Like, I feel so, in some ways, like, anyone that's attached to her just gets absolutely ripped to shreds.
Oh, 100%. But it's so interesting that he said that, because I feel like he is completely correct. The media does paint this photo of you.
Right.
And this moody, angry, bad boy.
Angsty, right. Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, he played into it. He saw that they loved him in a biker jacket, on a motorcycle.
He never took
that leather jacket off. And I think it was because, and I'm not going to say that Justin Theroux wasn't a very successful guy. He was a successful writer. He was an actor. He had Charlie's Angels. But I think dating Jennifer Aniston bumped him up to the next level of celebrity. And when you first get there, you almost want to take it all in and use it to your advantage. You've never gotten this much attention.
Yeah.
And I feel like he kind of got lost in it a little bit.
I mean, I feel like, how can you not? Like, when the entire world is dissecting you and picking you apart, like, I'm sure it makes him question, like, who am I? Am I this guy in the motorcycle jacket? I mean, I'll try it. Like, we all try on personas, right? Like, maybe it was like
You for sure play into that narrative. I think it's getting better. I think that social media, and I'm not saying that he has social media, but I do think that celebrities are owning their narrative stronger now.
Yes.
Because now they have a direct line of communication to their fans. And I will say that even as entertainment journalists, sometimes, you know, like, we'll run a story, we'll hear a story, but then celebrities will go on IG Lives and set the record straight from them, and the fans are like, no, y'all got it wrong. I just heard it from Jen Aniston, or my favorite celebrity, that this is actually inaccurate. The one thing I'm gonna do is, can we shout out Jason Bateman for that piece of advice and those words of wisdom? Like, that was genius. I need more friends like Jason Bateman, because my friends don't give me advice
like
that.
I love Jason Bateman. He was on the first show I ever did.
Did you just Jason Bateman this?
Yeah. It's always an omen. When the friend says, hey, I've seen this happen 5 different times, don't go down this road, 9 times out of 10, it's going to happen. I also don't take advice from people's friends because I know what happens. They are still holding on to the baggage of that past relationship.
Right.
I'm a whole different person.
Okay, but see, I'm going to fight you on this.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. I agree with you. I don't take advice from people that are in unsuccessful relationships, whether that's money advice because they've got debt, they're in bad. But Jason Bateman has been married for 20 mm-hmm. plus years in Hollywood, which is some kind of record. I'm sure there's like an award for his marriage. So I feel like I don't want to take advice from people that have been scorned and are in bad relationships and repeat history all the time.
Okay.
But Jason seems to have his head on straight. He is in love with his wife, always talks about marriage and priorities. So he is someone I'm taking advice from. I agree with you. I don't want to take advice from people that are in negative relationships
100%.
That put their stuff on me.
But let's be real. Jason Bateman's like, I'm just tired of meeting these dudes and seeing my friend go through the same thing over and over again with people.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm looking at this conversation and I'm thinking to myself, you know, we all thought, oh my God, they're broken up because he wanted to be in New York and she wanted to be in LA and he didn't like the spotlight. Now I think they broke up because he was one person walking into the relationship, got a little bit of the fame, and she was like, wait, I thought you were that other guy over there.
I liked the West Village, New York, doesn't care about the shiny Hollywood.
It's like the Kanye West of it all.
Kanye
West was so fun. He was nice. He was on the red carpet. He was holding Hennessy. Yeah. He double popped the collar. He talked to everybody.
Right.
The Taylor Swift thing happened. The media was like, oh my God, the villain.
Yeah.
Headline.
Right.
So he said, I'm just going to play into it and dive into it.
Right.
And he got lost in it.
Well,
I think that's the same thing with him.
I think it's hard when other people are telling your story and your narrative so much about who you are, it can't help but affect you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that Kanye has had his struggles with all sorts of things, so I'm sure that didn't help. I do see that though, where it's like I think we've all had that happen where you were like,
yeah,
wait a minute.
Who am I and who are you?
Because you were one person in the beginning and now I don't know who you are.
That's how I feel about everybody I date online. Cassie Randolph is finally breaking her silence about her ex-boyfriend, Colton Underwood, coming out as gay. Here's what she had to say on her YouTube vlog.
Regarding the topic in the media that brought my name up this week, just want to let you know that I'm not going to be further discussing it or commenting on it for now. There's a lot of layers to it, and I just feel like the best thing for me at this time is to move forward. If I do decide in the future to say anything or make a comment at all, you guys will be the first to know.
Now, ladies, if your ex came out as gay on GMA to the entire world, is this how you would handle it?
Yeah.
You would go so totally silent? You wouldn't say any, you'd say no comment?
Yeah, absolutely. For me personally, someone's coming out story is such a big moment, whether or not whatever. And also she had the worst breakup, right?
The worst.
So bad.
I have been
so
there.
Bad.
And when that kind of stuff happens, you're like, I don't, done, not mm-hmm. talking about it. Cause it's just such a negative, even saying the person's name just is like, bleh. It feels so nice. So I can see why she's like, nothing.
Well, by the way, you can see that in her body language. You can see that in her facial expressions.
She doesn't acknowledge him.
She doesn't. She calls it the topic.
The topic.
Mm-hmm. She called it the topic.
She's probably been really traumatized by him.
I'm
sure. With all of that stuff.
Yay!
But here's the thing. I was surprised because both her and Colton have been so incredibly public about the good parts of the relationship, but also the demise of the relationship. They do not hesitate to call each other out on IG stories. She's gone on with Chris Harrison and sat down to talk about the relationship. Yeah. So this is a very sharp left turn and departure from who she has been to the public about her relationship. And everyone has the right to decide to be private about the details of their life whenever they choose. I'm just saying, as a Bachelor fan and someone who watched this relationship, I was very surprised that she decided to not even address it by name and call it the topic and shut it down.
No, take it away from being a Bachelor fan. You and Patrick have been together mm-hmm. for an entire year. You have a tumultuous, passionate relationship. And 6 months later, he comes out and says, I think I've always liked men and I've been struggling with this for my whole life. What do you say as a woman?
I would probably be really hurt and I would definitely talk. I would definitely, I mean, what would I say to my partner, or what would I say if I had to come on the show and address
it? If you had to come on the show and address
it. I would say that just like all of you, I'm shocked, I'm surprised, I support him, and I would support anybody in their coming out story, but that doesn't mean that I don't have my own set of feelings about
this,
and that I'm not within my own right to express how I feel, and that how I feel has nothing to do with him coming out, has everything to do with the relationship that him and I had together.
But do we think that maybe she's afraid of saying anything about it? Because it is such a, like, there's no good way to do it. You know what I mean? There's look, I've had exes come out as gay before, like throughout the years. You know, you're like, oh, you know, I was kind of thought maybe you're
like right after you guys, like you broke up because they told you they were gay, or you broke up years later.
Well, I'm not gonna go into it now.
I was gonna because we have
we have a whole hour, Jody,
so we can into this.
I'm like, let me see their photos.
It was high school.
But this is the thing, and I think she's being very cautious because we remember, yes, their breakup was very tumultuous. She's probably trying to move on from that. And there is a thing that happens with women who date men right before they come out. There's this notion of, oh, you turned him gay. How did you turn him gay?
Right.
And I think for her, she's just being cautious. I will say this. I'm happy for Colton. I wasn't here when you guys talked about Colton. But if the guy who stalked me allegedly and put a tracking device on my car
allegedly
got a Netflix show, I would feel some type of way, and I would feel triggered. I'm watching people lose jobs over tweets they sent in 2009 and off-color jokes they made in stand-up comedy in the 90s.
Right.
Yet you're going to hand the show to a guy who allegedly...
I would be pissed. I would be talking.
And I like Colton. I think he is a nice, sweet guy.
I'd be pissed, and I'd be like, nothing that comes out of my mouth right now is going to probably serve me well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I could say all kinds of things that I want to, and I'm going to keep that to my best friend.
Yeah. I do think...
Well, guess what? You're going to say it at break, honey, because I need to know.
Show him the photo.
Coming up, it's Dating 101 with Michael B. Jordan. What he stopped doing in his relationship with Lori Harvey, and we're all talking about it. We'll discuss.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'd rather be crazy. Hold up, they don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. Back up, they don't love you like I love you. Step down, they don't love you like I love you.
Can you guys believe it's been 5 years since Lemonade came out? Beyoncé dropped that bomb in 2016, and that's when we learned what was really going on in one of Hollywood's most private marriages. Can you even believe these two people survived after that came out?
I thought that Jay-Z was gone. Like, I was like, oh, the album's out, Jay-Z's gone. He has left the room, he has left the planet, he is never to be seen again, he was in that car.
That's it.
He is gone.
Somewhere.
She made him disappear. That is what I thought when I saw this.
100%. You know, by the way, look, people will allude to things in their songs, you know, like,
She was like, what?
I'm gonna name her. Her name is Rebecca DeMornay. She lives at 555 Hollow Lane.
Right, she's like Beehive, go at it.
You know, I feel like they survived because she was able to be honest.
Yes.
And I think in a lot of Hollywood marriages, when we read the books about how they like finally got out and how they were tortured, I feel like it's because people were repressed from sharing what was really going on in their marriage. And I think if Beyoncé hadn't dropped Lemonade and he hadn't dropped 444 with his apology and taking accountability, I don't think that marriage would have lasted past that video.
No, I don't think so. No. Now, knowing the fact that they are obviously partners and husband and wife, but they're also, I feel, professional advocates of each other.
Yes.
Do you think that Beyoncé played this album in its entirety? Do you think that Jay-Z advised on, like, how much did Jay-Z know of these songs before they were released? Not publicly, but before he knew.
I did wonder that. I was like, was this a surprise?
Do you think he listened to every lyric, every song before this came out?
I think she was like, here is the done album. You can listen to it. I mean, look, I've been to On the Run 1. I've been to On the Run 2. That man is in the back of the crowd, ready to go on stage, and she is still singing the song, and singing Resentment when she's talking about the woman again and talking about him and his ass and his actions. When something happens like this in your marriage, it's not something that you say, okay, I'm going to forgive and forget. It's I'm going to forgive and I'm going to live through this. You and I are going to live through this.
You've got to, like, get, you know. And I honestly think them doing this, like, I Beyonce, I mean, what she's amazing. But doing this, I think, really normalized their marriage.
Yes.
It made it relatable. It made it like, oh my gosh, no matter how much money or success or whatever you have, this stuff happens.
This stuff happens.
It does.
And somebody gets mad and stuff, but like, they were so out with it. And I admired it so much because it was so raw and truthful and honest. That there was no hiding from it. It was like, you know what? Let's just put it out there. We get to kind of like we were saying, controlling the narrative.
Yeah.
It's on
we
our
get
terms.
To put it out there and tell our story and like be pissed at each other and then be like, okay.
And then make so much money off of it as well because
100%.
We wanted to watch it all unfold.
I mean, like they're not stupid. They are not stupid.
No, they're not. But this really was, this album for me, for her as a fan, yes, it was a massive turning point because it opened up, it pulled back the curtain into one of Hollywood's most high profile marriages. But it also, to me, signaled a shift in Beyonce about how political she was willing to be on an album. So not only was she bearing her soul as a scorned woman, as someone who went through betrayal, but she was also, I think, documenting her journey as a black woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you remember, she had the mothers of Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown in the video. And I think this was a signal for her to her fans to say, I've gone, this is generational. I have gone through so much pain as a black woman, but I've also gone through so much pain as a woman. And I think so many people connected to that.
100%. And, you know, for her, this wasn't an easy thing.
No.
Because we had heard about, you know, the allegations against her father and her mother staying in a relationship with somebody who had been, you know, unfaithful and cheating. So to break that cycle within a black marriage, but also, look, I know you guys aren't black, but in black families, if it happens in your house, it stays in your house.
Oh,
you don't talk about it. It's like Fight Club.
Yeah, that's
it. Fight Club. You don't talk about what happens at 237.
Right.
You know,
Waspy families are just as bad.
You don't talk about it.
You just don't.
So for them to talk about it, but I don't think they could have ignored it. We all watched that elevator footage and we were like, what the hell is going on? Like, we need it out.
By the way, don't lie. How many times did you watch the elevator footage? I blew it up on my phone. I slowed it down. I sped it up. I was like, can I enhance audio on this? I just needed to know everything about that moment. And her fiance in that elevator,
just
unbothered.
Oh, in Givenchy.
I remember watching that though and I was like, I want to be her.
Yeah.
I want to be her.
I need a sister like Solange. I don't have a sister, but if I had a sister, I want a sister just like Solange.
Oh, she better fight a bitch.
Yeah.
We will keep this conversation buzzing. We have Michael B. Jordan when we come back from the break.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
In today's Pop of Love, Michael B. Jordan did not hold back his love for Lori Harvey on social media in the beginning. He shared all kinds of personal photos like most A-listers do not. And now he's telling people, I'm still private and I want to protect that. But it just felt like it was a moment of just wanting to put it out there and move on. Now, Michael hasn't posted any new pics of Lori on his feed since February. Is this the way to do it? Like, post a lot, put it out there, and then stop to maintain your privacy? Because I have my own thoughts.
Oh, I'm sure.
I have my own thoughts.
It's a lot for me. Like, I didn't need to know that their pet name, like, was Turtle.
Already.
Wait,
what?
Yeah.
Can you put that out there?
Oh, yeah.
Valentine's Day. That's a lot.
When they were having the Nobu in the fish aquarium? Yeah, it was a lot for me. I can't help it. I am always suspicious of these big public declarations of love and faith and commitment to each other. I always am like, what's going on that you have to show so much to the public, right, who has nothing to do with your relationship, right? Right? So I did question that. And because he's always been so fiercely private, I thought, well, is she pushing that? Or is he just so overwhelmed and in love with Lori that he does not care, who knows, how much he loves her?
I always say, you never see a man until after the 90-day mark. So
you always meet somebody's representative for the first 3 months.
100%.
Meet their representative.
For like the first year.
Exactly. Like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm so-and-so. And you're like, I wonder what's really under there. And then like a few months in, you're like, okay.
So this is what you're like. I think for him, he got caught up in the rapture.
Right.
He
loves her.
Into the whole thing. For a black man in Hollywood, if you listen to Jamie Foxx talk about how he came up, if you listen to Kevin Hart about how he came up, the minute you got to a certain point in celebrity and it meant more to the culture than it meant to you, black men will come in, and black people in general, like Oprah went to Jamie Foxx and was like, hey, you just won an Oscar, you're doing too much, come and sit your ass down and I'm gonna have a talk with Sidney Poitier. Like, she had a full-on conversation with him at Denzel Washington's house. He tells the story, it's amazing. Michael B. Jordan talks about how Jamie Foxx is a mentor to him.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think Jamie Foxx was probably like, hey, you have gotten to this place where people are focusing on your career, they're focusing on your next move. Right. Don't fall prey to this clout and this media thing and get caught up in who are you dating and let it be about your craft.
Right.
So I already know, as a black man who is in TV, who has gotten that conversation already done to me by other black people in this industry, it totally happened to him.
It definitely did. No, you're right. And it's true because you feed the beast, right? If you're putting this on your social media, I mean, think about how many times we pull images for this show, for Nightly Pop, for any
time.
We are pulling from their social. So you are just giving us more fuel for the fire. And like we talked about earlier, we're writing the narrative, right? So stop feeding into it. And I think there's something about keeping privacy to a relationship. It's between two people.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about that that's like, my husband hates being on Instagram. Like,
so does my boyfriend is like, please don't take
please. He's like, please, and please don't tag me. Please don't tag me.
Yeah.
I'm like, but why? And he's like, listen, whatever we share and however I make you feel is between the two of us.
Yeah.
Why do you feel like you need to share it? I'm like, well, because I love you so much and like it feels good. He's like, okay, but like we can enjoy that.
But I think that's
together.
Also a guy, like a more of
is
a
that a guy thing?
It's sort of more of a guy thing.
How
like,
would
why
you
are
feel?
You putting this out there? But like I tend to be more like my boyfriend and I don't post a ton of pictures of each other on social media. Every once in a while I'll be like, well, I mean, take more pictures of the dog.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, but do I really care? And I'm like,
I think we all have.
You were dating somebody that was really famous.
Yeah.
And they wanted to keep the relationship private, not a secret. There's a difference. Just private to say, hey, listen, people know we're together. I don't need to post photos to prove that I love you or that I'm committed to you. How would that make you feel?
I mean, look, I'm a pretty secure person, but I think like most women, you know, I feel like I have female tendencies because I was raised by three women in a house. You know, if I'm feeling insecure about something, I need you to maybe post a photo just to feed
just
my insecurity.
Well, it's just so that, like, I always say, I'm like, I just want people to know, like, I'm here.
I makes it.
I'm here.
Just put my hand. I don't even need my whole, like,
always.
Put my hand.
And a tag.
Put a picture of a whole
put a hand and a tag.
And a tag.
Right.
Put me, like, walking behind as your friend. I don't care. If I'm feeling insecure about our relationship and I need that as your partner, you give that to me. But I don't need you to give it to me every week.
Well, I think it's also, there's a difference between, like, being secure in your relationship and posting a photo and feeling that you need to keep up so that everyone knows everything's okay.
There's a difference.
You know what I mean?
There's a
and
huge
I feel
difference.
Like that
That's
happens
an, I
a
feel
lot.
Like that becomes unhealthy in the relationship and you're having a relationship for the public,
not for the two
of you.
I've seen people before. I mean, I've seen
We've seen that
like,
a lot.
You never post a picture and this isn't working and this isn't, and I'm like, girl.
We're not going to say who we saw a lot of that.
We are not going to say it. We're going to talk about George Clooney because his bad boy past has him in trouble with his wife. Amal's been catching up on old episodes of ER and she can't believe what a player he was.
She can't?
My wife has been watching it. This has been a very, very disastrous thing for me because I forgot all of the terrible things I did as Dr. Ross. My wife keeps going, is that it? Are you done? Season three? Do you finally settle down with Nurse Hathaway? And I'm like, yeah, I think so. And it's like, not
Not even close.
It's been a disaster for my marriage.
By the way, you know what it's like? You know when you're out with your partner or with a boyfriend or like a new relationship and you run into somebody who he's seen naked,
mm-hmm.
and you can tell that's... because there's like a little glimmer in his eye and there's a little bit of uncomfortableness between the two people. I think Amal is rewatching this and she's like, right. you probably slept with this woman in a cloak closet.
That's right. That is what he wanted to say. About, that's right? what he wanted to say, but he can't say that because he can't call her out. She's like, so at last count, you did how many seasons and had 87 love interests
right.
over that time, plus you look like that. Yes. I'm doing the math.
Right.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
We're doing the math.
100%. Because you know he was that dude on right. set.
Look at him.
That was actually from the ER cast reunion for Stars in the House.
I love this. I love when they get the cast together again.
Yeah.
It feels so good to watch this. And I'm so, like, it's crazy to me. I loved ER.
I love
so nice
ER
to
too. And I love George Clooney on it. Mm-hmm. Up next, Jersey Shore's Ronnie is in trouble with the law again. Then we're talking fashion, Zendaya and Laverne's hot looks from last night. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Daily Pop. It's time for today's Hollywood Minute. LA police confirmed that Jersey Shore star Ronnie Ortiz Magro has been arrested for domestic violence, specifically on charges of intimate partner violence with injury. This comes as Ronnie remains on probation for a separate domestic violence case involving his ex-girlfriend. A source close to Ronnie tells us she was not involved in this incident. Late yesterday, his attorney told us, "We have just learned of the new allegations against Ronnie and need some additional time to further investigate. As such, we will not be making any other statements at this time." All right, it is time to get ready for the Billboard Music Awards. The show is live May 23rd on NBC, but the finalists are being announced by stars like Paris Hilton, Swiss Beatz, Rob Gronkowski, and Timbaland next Thursday during Billboard Music Awards The List Live. Y'all can check it out on the live stream on BBMA's Billboard E and NBC social media pages starting at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern. Nomadland was the big winner at the Independent Spirit Awards, taking home 4 prizes, including Best Feature and Best Director for Chloe Zhao. Oh, I missed the buzzer. Okay, keep going. Also catching attention at this year's virtual ceremony, Elle Fanning, who wore this lilac pearl-draped Vivian Westwood dress. All right, I need to know, what do you guys really think of this look?
I am all the way here for it. Give me my life today, Elle Fanning. I love this look on her because she's mostly a Disney princess in every red right. carpet. She's always ethereal. This, to me, says, I am an adult, I am here, and guess what? I'm a bombshell.
It is stunning, and it evokes this romanticism. It's like a painting almost. I mean, it Absolutely. Really, truly is in these photos. Just the way, the curve of the dress, it is stunning.
When I look at these photos, to me, this is the power of fashion, right?
Yes.
And sometimes we pretend that fashion is frivolous, but this is the power of fashion. It can completely transform someone, how you see someone in the public. I mean, I think about so many celebrities that work with the right stylist, and you literally see them transform in front of your eyes. By the way, when this transformation happens on a carpet, it also shifts their career.
Oh, my God.
Fashion is so powerful. I mean, we're going to see it this Sunday, right? I mean, but this is the best, I think, she's ever looked.
I'm blown away by this.
This is the power of a gay man. This is the power of a gay man. If I go ahead and click on this photo, I bet you there are 3 gay men featured on this thing.
Can we see the tags on the photo, please?
Right. Gareth,
give us the tags.
Look, Gareth over there is probably a gay man.
Right?
And he probably did the hair.
Right, yeah. The hair, the stuff,
so
everything.
True.
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, this is beautiful. This is
I really can't get over it,
Vivian Westwood is an icon, but this is Vivian Westwood to a T, but still her, right?
Yes.
Sometimes, like, you see celebrities wear a designer and you can just feel like they're just wearing the designer. This is Elle wearing Vivian Westwood, first and foremost, and that is what I love about this.
Well, let's keep talking about fashion because the Essence Black Women in Hollywood Awards were also last night, and the ladies came to slay, honey.
Ooh.
Zendaya, vintage YSL dress. Law Roach, her stylist, said it was from his personal archive. Please tell me that you love this.
I mean, Law Roach is, again, talk about a genius when it comes to fashion being transformational.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Him and Zendaya are one of the best stylist and client partnerships that exist in Hollywood. We are going to remember those two names together forever. Yes. They have given us moment after moment. Mm-hmm. And I love that the fact that this is vintage. It also belonged to Eunice Johnson. It's from 1982. It is giving me like Dynasty dream girl vibes.
Absolutely.
And I am here for every 80s moment. I'm an 80s baby. I wasn't here for
it. Yeah. I wasn't here for it.
Why?
I felt like it aged her up a little bit. And if I were the stylist, I probably would have put her in something at the bottom that made it look more youthful.
See, I think it's super youthful with that super deep V. That shoulder is very current. We're living in like an 80s shoulder moment.
Right.
And I also think that the hair and the makeup feels so youthful to me that it combines with the dress to give her a very modern, like I said, a very modern 1982, but 2021.
Is it pants or is it?
It's a skirt.
Okay. It's a very, very fitted almost fishtail skirt with a slit up the front.
Okay.
I could have used a different shoe. I'm not gonna lie. Keep it real. But I'm sorry, this is so stunning on her. And I love a rewear. I'm here for all vintage fashion moments, especially vintage Saint Laurent.
Well, let's look at Laverne Cox, who started out in a printed mermaid cut dress, then changed into a color block blazer moment. Which did you guys prefer?
I'm definitely preferring the mermaid dress.
Yes.
Sometimes those big jackets, they don't do anything for her. And she's got such a stunning figure. Like, I just think that
I know where she was going with it. The 90s were huge for black culture.
Yeah.
You know, hip hop, you know, urban life, streetwear. I think Laverne Cox was going for that with the color in the moment. But I agree with you. Laverne Cox has one of the best bodies in Hollywood.
Yes.
And that figure is just second to none.
Yeah.
So I love when she does the mermaid moment.
Yeah. I mean, on her, it's just, that's what it's supposed to look like, right?
It's
just
I love a boxy. I think it's so unexpected for her. And that's sometimes what I want to see at these shows. I want to see them step outside of their comfort zone. I feel like I've seen that shape on Laverne so many times, carpet after carpet, that seeing her in something like really boxy, very 90s, and almost kind of like I said, very different for her. I am so into that big oversized jacket.
It's because you're pregnant and you're trying to hide your belly.
Yeah. See, I put them on and I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Like I feel like I'm playing.
I'm basically just really jealous that she can wear a bodycon dress and there will be no bodycon moments happening. Living in oversized.
Eat another burrito. After the break, the emotional Grey's Anatomy wedding. Is Derek really saying goodbye forever? And do we care?
I don't want to leave the kids.
Grey's Anatomy gave us two major moments last night. First, Meredith and Derek finally got their dream wedding on the beach, proving that even ghosts are gonna find love before me.
Oh, then, Justin! That's so sad!
That's awful!
Wait!
Then, Meredith woke up from a coma just in time to cash her check on Friday.
I don't even know what to say. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
That makes two of us. That makes.
You know what? We need to find you a good little ghost and just throw you a beach wedding.
First of all, thank you. I really do appreciate that.
Put you into a coma. Apparently, maybe if we just put you in a coma, you'll find love and then have a wedding on the
beach. I would lose a bunch of weight, but yes, I'd probably find love. You know, aside from the wedding and aside from everything else, Grey's Anatomy was my show back in college, and I just think they got to that point in like Passions where like people were dying and coming back, and then somebody was a Wiccan.
That's like the soap opera thing, right? That like you get to the point where you're like, I don't know, we got to start killing people off and bringing them back. Like
it's a lot.
It's a coma, I'm like,
I don't
want to
upset the Grey's Anatomy fans because I know they're passionate and they love this show. I mean.
Be careful, the producers have to light you, and they're upstairs, and they are Grey's Anatomy fans.
I'm sorry, producers, but do we care? I don't know. Is that horrible to say?
I've I've never watched an episode.
I watched Grey's Anatomy.
I think this
show came out when I graduated college, which was a long, long time ago. And I just can't believe that it's still on with such success. Like, props to Shonda Rhimes because.
I think that's why they're going that route. I think
because it's successful.
No, we heard about that whole Shonda Rhimes situation where ABC didn't want to give her that park pass. So she went and took Bridgerton to Netflix. Yeah. And now I feel like Shonda Rhimes is like, I want to close this chapter with you people who wouldn't give me that $175 park pass after I've given you 175 million reasons to give
and
me this thing.
38 years of season.
Yeah, right.
And sometimes you just want to close something on a high note. I mean, I feel like Shonda Rhimes has given us the end.
Right.
We can close.
Right. I think any further than this, like the jumping the shark moments are just like,
I don't know. If Danny Duquette came back to find Lizzie, who I don't know where Lizzie even
is.
I think Lizzie died. Yeah. Lizzie died too.
She's also having a ghost wedding.
We don't know.
Lizzie's also having some sort of a ghost wedding. Right. There. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I love that you name checked Passions.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I love Timmy. I love Timmy.
Timmy, the tiny little doll, the doll boy.
We're going to talk about Timmy at the break. But coming up, the Oscars are almost here. And we're getting you ready with the three things you need to know. That is next. Old Hollywood waves never go out of style. And they're guaranteed to make an appearance on the Oscars red carpet this weekend. Celebrity hairstylist and Fakai artistic director Renato Campora has created his signature curls on stars like Amanda Seyfried, Jessica Chastain, and Naomi Watts, and he showed us how it's done.
My name is Renato Campora, and today I'm going to show you how to achieve Hollywood glam.
You'll need to start with straight hair. Using a curling iron, wrap the hair towards the face and pin the curls in place until the hair is fully cooled.
The first step is to remove the hairpins and brush the hair. Let's see how I did it.
Brush the hair out with a soft bristle brush and place wave-setting hair clips where you want the curls to set.
Finish, I'm going to use hairspray. And voila.
Gorgeous.
Love. We know you're all excited about the Oscars this weekend, and Rotten Tomatoes Awards senior editor Jacqueline Coley is here to fill us in on the three things you gotta know before you watch. And I will say this, this woman has a 98% chance at predicting what's gonna happen on Sunday. You gave us all the tea for Grammys. You gave it to us real. What's the first thing we have to know about the Oscars?
Okay, so for this weekend for the Oscars, we definitely want to talk about all of the historic firsts that are possible for this weekend. I mean, there are so many different folks that we're excited about, but most importantly, just the fact that all of the different nominees have this possibility of being first-time winners and first-time folks to, you know, sort of make a different feel for the Oscars this year.
What about the dress code?
Yeah, can we talk about the dress code? Because I know that they've been encouraged to show up in their Oscar best. So are we going to see all kinds of glam, or will people still be subdued and kind of respectful of the environment and feeling?
Actually, everyone has been required to dress up. Steven Soderbergh, who is actually producing the show, has said that they want everyone there, their satellite offices throughout the globe, that are essentially telling folks, show up in your finery, London, New York, LA, and of course, downtown at Union Station.
Okay, so what you're trying to say is that Jason Sudeikis will not be in a hoodie.
Absolutely, Jason Sudeikis will not be in a hoodie. You're going to have to do it. And no Zooms. These are all going to be completely in person.
Okay, now I heard that the Oscars this year is supposed to look like a giant movie. What does that even mean?
So as I said, Steven Soderbergh, who's producing the show, famed, you know, director, he won for Traffic, and he has said this is going to be a cinematic experience. So one of the things that this affords him is the ability to shoot it like a film, and it's going to have that old Hollywood film and glam, and they're still going to have great performances, although they won't have it the way that they did before. Leslie Odom Jr. and her all recorded their performances on the Academy Museum stage, and they'll all be able to head back that way and show it on Oscar night.
Okay, the one thing I have to ask you before I let you go, because you have called it straight up. Do you think Chadwick Boseman has a chance to walk away with this Oscar for his performance?
Have a chance? He's the odds on favorite. There is no question in my mind that Chadwick Boseman is going to get the fitting tribute to his legacy and everything that he did on screen. Tragically, he will not be with us, but his partner, his wife, will be there to hopefully accept the award for best actor. Only one of the few men to be able to do that. And it's been decades since a black male actor has won for best actor. And so, you know, Sidney Poitier, Chadwick Boseman, Denzel Washington, not bad company.
Oh my God. Well, we will see you tomorrow for our Daily Pop Oscar special. And we will talk more about this. And you guys, as usual, we got Hollywood's biggest night covered all weekend long. Tomorrow, join us for Daily Pop, the Oscars edition at a special time at 10 a.m. Then on Sunday, the Oscars are at 8 p.m. Eastern on ABC. And of course, we will have you covered all day long here at E, starting at 3 Eastern. Up next, from a miraculous recovery to a baby who's pouring her own drink, I need that baby at my house.
I currently have that baby in my belly.
They are the feel-good stories to cap off the week. Don't go anywhere. We are going to start your weekend off right with some feel-good Friday. Now, this story helped me get out of my slump when I was recovering. Baylor basketball player DeeDee Richards was temporarily paralyzed last fall during a collision with a teammate. After 38 days, homegirl was back on the court competing in March Madness. And last week, she was drafted to the WNBA.
Stop.
I literally read
this. Wait, I'm sorry, y'all. That gets like a full studio round.
That's amazing.
Give it up for DeeDee. So JJ Richards over here was like, I'm done feeling sorry for myself. If DeeDee could get herself out of being paralyzed, this is crazy.
I love this story. Good for her. Mm-hmm. And that just shows you it's so much mind over matter.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, the physical part of it, but like, she committed and she's like, no, I'm going out there for March Madness and I'm going to the WNBA.
Oh, 100%.
Back up.
Amazing.
Liliana, we have a story for you that might make you feel good. There's no use in crying over spilt milk or iced tea. A Nebraska mom posted this adorable TikTok of her 1.5-year-old daughter attempting to make herself a cocktail. Mocktail. How crazy would this be if you walked in and your daughter's doing this?
I mean, I would be delighted if my children were able to pour me drinks. Like, I mean, what parent wouldn't be? I'm not going to call out names, but I definitely have friends, mostly guy friends, whose babies can get them
beverages
out of the fridge.
Oh, 100%.
And it's great. They're like, go get daddy a beer. And the kid's so excited to go grab it.
So excited to be helped. Yeah. I want to say, though,
they're little helpers.
My 13 and 10-year-olds pour drinks like that still, though, because I come in the kitchen. I'm like, what happened? What did you do? Like, juice everywhere. I swear that my children, who should know how to pour, are doing it like that.
Are you a T-Rex holding it like this?
Like, what are you doing?
Also, when they're that cute, can you even really get angry? That little girl is, you can spill whatever you want all over the counter. Like,
100%.
I've surrendered. When you look that cute, whatever, do what you want.
Now, my future husband, take note to this next story. People have gotten very creative about sharing their space this past year. Like this guy who brought a green screen suit so he wouldn't show up in the background of his fiance's Zoom meetings. This man is the GOAT. LeBron, you're out. Whoever this man is in. I feel like Tom would do some shit like this.
That's amazing.
This is on another level. Who thinks like, I need people like this in my life.
People who are bored.
Yeah. He's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to get a green screen suit and just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a head floating through with a coffee cup. Fantastic.
I had to army crawl to not be in my, he said to me, he's like, you've got to be up and ready by 7:45. And if you're not, you're going to have to army crawl out of that bed. Because the way that his camera was, you could see the corner of our bed. And I was like, you don't really mean that, do you? And I did. I army crawled my way right out of that bed into the bathroom. Fine. Do what you got to do.
Tom, you need a green screen suit. In my shot, Tom. All up in my shot, Tom. Jody Sweetin, thank you for being here. You were amazing.
Thank you.
You guys, join us tomorrow. We are going to have the Oscars covered. You don't want to miss this. Bye, guys.
Bye. Happy Friday.